at three illustrations of apostates from the book of Jude. And next week we have a missionary here, but next, the Wednesday that we're back on the lesson, we will be on the personal examples of apostates. But tonight we're more or less looking at groups of apostates. And we're going to start there in verse 5. Verse 5 of the book of Jude. I will therefore put you in remembrance. I was always taught when I was going through Bible school that if there's a therefore, look and see what it's there for. So he just warned about the apostates and those who had turned the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that they were crept in unawares. They were in among them, the believers. So therefore, he's going to put them in remembrance. He's going to remember something here. Though you once knew this, verse 5, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And so the first example or illustration that he gives here is the children of Israel. The children of Israel who left the land of Egypt. Now when you stop and think about the children of Israel, when they left the land of Egypt, God delivered them out of Egypt. You remember what he did to get them out when the Egyptians came after them to free them from the Egyptians? What happened? Do you remember? He drowned them in the Red Sea. He drowned the Egyptians. And he delivered. They saw that sea, long way across it, they saw it open up and the waters stand up. And they went through a wall, water on each side. And they saw God do that. Well, after they got into the wilderness, they never saw anything God did for them there, did they? My, remember the water out of the rock? Remember the manna? Remember the quails? Remember how God protected them from their enemies and delivered them throughout? They saw the Lord do mighty miracles. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 11. They saw the Lord do mighty miracles. That's what you need to write in there. Now remember, he's given illustrations of the apostates. And last time, do you remember what we said apostates were? There were someone that profess, but they don't possess. They profess, but they don't possess. In other words, they have received light, but not life. They may have received the word to some degree, but not the living word. And we need to realize that that's what the apostates are. They never were saved. They didn't get saved and lose it. They just never were saved. They may go to the pretenses of being a Christian, but they're not saved. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. So, and of course he mentions Caleb, and also later we mention, it's also mentioned that Joshua and Caleb were the only two that got to go in, and then the children of all those who did not believe. The children that they said would be a prey in the wilderness got to go in, but they didn't. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verses 1 through 7. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His stretched out arm, and His miracles, and His acts, which He did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land, and what He did unto the army of Egypt, unto the horse, their horses, and to their chariots, how He made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day, and what He did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. What He did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did. Yes, they saw mighty miracles. They saw the Lord do mighty miracles. There was the pillar of the cloud to lead them by day, and the pillar of fire to lead them by night. God did many amazing things for Israel to bring them out and to bring them in to the land of promise. But they could not enter into the land of promise. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then look in chapter 4 here, it says, verses 1 and 2, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. He was grieved, verse 17 of chapter 3, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Is it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? See, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Look down to chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See, he uses this first illustration. The children of Israel, they had plenty of light, but they did not believe, and they ended up dying in the wilderness, never making it to the promised land, and never making it into God's salvation, because they did not believe. Trust in the living God. Now let's look at verse 6, the second illustration that he gives. And the angels which kept not their first estate, is back the book of Jude, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So notice now, the angels which kept not their first estate. That's the example or the illustration he's using now. They too saw the mighty works and power of God. They saw the mighty works and power of God. Look back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 19. Remember now that Jude is warning us. He's warning the church about the apostates, to look out for them, to watch for them, to be warned that they are in the midst. We know that Jude was talking about the last times because of verse 14 in Jude, where he talks about definitely the last times in the context of this book of Jude. So he's warning us. And he's using these illustrations for us to see the apostates, what they are. 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. The angels were created to be ministers, servants to the Lord, to serve Him, to do His bidding, to follow His commandments. In Colossians chapter 1, we won't go there, but He tells us that all things were created by Him and for Him. Things in heaven, the things in earth, everything. God created them for Himself. Those angels saw the mighty works of God. They saw His works and His power. But, as we read in the Scripture here, they left. They kept not their first estate in Jude verse 6, but left their own habitation. They left their own habitation. They sinned against God. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, and verses 4 and 5, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Now we know that not all the angels are chained, and you realize that the word chains there has the meaning of they're bound in some way. And it's put in terms that we can understand. Angels are spirits. And so the chains that they are bound with are chains that bind spirits, keep them so that they cannot get out. And they were cast down to hell there. The Bible tells us that here that to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So notice that these angels sinned. They were cast down to hell. They were bound in chains. And it's what it tells us there in Jude 6, that they are He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, when they will stand and they will be judged. And from the New Testament, we have Scripture that indicates that we will be a part of that judgment of angels. And so we notice that they sin. Look in Revelation chapter 12. We know that in Satan's rebellion against God, here in verse 4 it says, in his tale, referring to the dragon, to the red dragon, which is clearly Satan, verse 9 of this chapter, it says, and his tale drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Many Bible teachers believe that that's a reference to at least one third of the angels fell and when Satan rebelled in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, followed in that rebellion. Those angels are working as demons. There were some of those evil angels that sinned in such a way that they were bound in chains in everlasting darkness to be an example to the other angels. We'll see that in a minute. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And we have a differences of opinions among Bible teachers here, and I'll explain that to you. I'm not going to go into depth with it because of the fact that we are looking at these as illustrations, and we're not going to fight over what is what here. But it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, there are those who believe that these angels that were chained is a reference to the sons of God here, because in the book of Job, the angels are called the sons of God. And that these angels left their habitation. Now, there are others who say that it wasn't angels, that the sons of God were the Sethites. And the Sethites went into outside of marrying in the line, which would corrupt the line of Christ. And therefore, they had done wrong. And they will mention verse 3 where it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so we look back to the book of Jude and we notice that it says they left their first estate, they left their own habitation, and then it tells us, even as Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. You see, in the Greek structure, the in like manner refers back to these angels that left their habitation. So what did they do? Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Well, then the argument comes up that aren't angels, they don't have sex. Well, what we find in the Bible is that angels do not reproduce. They weren't made to reproduce because there was no need for them to reproduce. God created the angels, hundreds of thousands, millions of angels. And then there's a passage of Scripture in Matthew 22, verse 30, Mark 12, verse 25, Luke 20, and verse 35 that teaches that neither will man reproduce in the resurrection. But you see, the thing that doesn't happen there is there are neither married nor given in marriage. That was all preset by God. There wasn't any marriages performed in when God created Adam and Eve. They weren't married or given in marriage. God put them together. And that's the way it will be in the new heaven and the new earth. And to say that angels don't have sex is, we don't have scripture to back that up. There's not a scripture that says they don't, but there are these indications that because angels don't reproduce from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. So, what is it then? Well, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm giving you the scripture. It refers to, in like manner of verse 7, that they left their first estate, they left their own habitation, and that estate is translated beginning 40 times. That's the most it's translated, the word estate in verse 6 is beginning. So they left what they were created in the beginning, and then they left their own habitation. Well, when they left their habitation, it means they went outside of themselves. Well, some think that, yes, that is a reference to the sin of Genesis chapter 6, but what they did is inhabited the Sethites and got them to do this. Well, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is what the Scripture says, and he's using this as an example of what the angels did. And we see the angels, they had seen the mighty works and power of God. They sinned against God. And just another scripture, let's just look at that one in 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice the reference again. Notice where it's placed in 1 Peter chapter 3. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3. I can get there without going past it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And so they waited 120 years. He said his spirit would not always strive with man. It was 120 years. His days shall be 120 years. And that the spirits here who were disobedient is linked with the time of Noah. So we know they had great light. They sinned against God. They were chained. See here in your notes, they were chained as an example to any other angels that would leave their habitation and commit this sin, whatever it was, they would be bound in chains, a deterrent from that to take place again. Now, we notice the next illustration that he gives. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, like these angels, giving, and some will say that like manner could refer to the cities, giving themselves over to fornication. But according to Wiest, who is a scholar in the Greek, it is a reference back to verse 6. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So notice Sodom and Gomorrah is used next as an illustration. The destruction of these cities came around 450 years after the flood. 450 years. Shem would have been living at this time. Of course, Noah lived some time after the flood as well. If you go back to Genesis chapter 11, you'll see that. As quickly, let's get back there to Genesis chapter 11 and look at that. Genesis 11, verses 10 and 11. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad, I think is how you say it, 2 years after the flood. 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. So you see, they would have had the preaching of Shem. They would also have known very clearly that God destroyed all of the earth because of great wickedness. That was well known by their time. So they did have light. They would have known that God destroyed the earth with a flood. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And verses 7 to 9. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. How much preaching did Lot do? I don't know. I suppose he didn't do much. But it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, says he saw and he heard, doesn't say much about preaching, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. So, there could have been some preaching of Lot. There may have been, I'm sure that even in his compromised state, he was somewhat of an example to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around that he did live different than they did, though he was a compromiser. But we find that they refused, Sodom and Gomorrah refused to believe. Genesis chapter 19, verse 14, when he talked to his sons-in-laws, to try to get them to come out, bring their wives and come out, they seemed to him as one that mocked and believed. Ezekiel chapter 16 tells us about the sins of Sodom. We know from reading Genesis 18 and 19 that they were involved in homosexuality. And we know from Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See, it seems to indicate that she knew better than this. And they were haughty, full of pride, and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. And so they would not believe. They refused to believe. Now, we have these three illustrations that he gives us in the book of Jude concerning the apostates. So what lessons do we learn about apostates from these illustrations? Well, there are quite a few. First of all, they have an understanding of the right way. Even involved in it. You find that coming out in these illustrations. They have an understanding of the right way, even involved in it. But they refuse the truth that they might do their own ways. They refuse the truth that they might do their own ways. We notice that, especially when we read about the children of Israel, they have hardened hearts and will not hear. Now, if you have a concordance, you can look on up here and go through the verses on here. There are a lot of them, but you can go through there and you can find numerous places. I'm not going to take you to all these verses tonight, but they all talk about the thing that they would not hear. They will not hear. And Proverbs 23:9, though, I want you to see this one in Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Look at that one. The other verses that are listed here, and there are numerous verses concerning this, they just would not hear the children of Israel. They would not listen to their God. If we had time to read all these verses, it is so plain that God condemns them because they had the truth, but they would not hear it. Verse 9, chapter 23 of Proverbs. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And that's the way they were, and that's the way apostates are. You can talk to them, but they won't hear. They just won't hear it. It goes in one ear and right out the other. And take the time sometime tonight, tomorrow, whenever you get a chance, and look up these verses that are listed there and just read them about how God brings out that they just wouldn't hear. They refused to hear. In Zechariah 7, verse 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Wouldn't listen to God, so he's not going to listen to them. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to see this because, remember, Jude is warning us that there are apostates among us. Ooh, pastor, be careful. Be careful there. Well, that's what the Scripture is doing here. So let's look at this in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. You're not really a child of God. You see, God chastens every son that he receives. And notice the next thing here, and I want you to think about that scripture because we're going to refer to it here in a moment. But D here in your notes, they are involved in the lusts of the flesh. Jude chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go back and look at this one, because we're going to refer back to Hebrews chapter 12 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He's using this. Now, these illustrations are to help us to identify the apostates. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and look down there to verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. There it is. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But praise God, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we put that together, and if you have a Christian who dabbles in the lusts of the flesh and fornication and sex outside of marriage and lasciviousness and all of that, a so-called Christian, and there is no judgment of God, you have just identified yourself very possibly an apostate. A one who knows the light, but has never really received the light. Because if you know Jesus Christ, there will be chastening. You cannot. 1 John chapter 3, he cannot sin because his seed remaineth in him. And you can't sin and get away with it if you're a Christian. You just may well fit into the line of the apostate if you can go out here and dabble in the lust of the flesh and have no conviction about it and no care and no concern about it and hope you can get away without anybody finding out about it. You just better remember something. You're not fooling Almighty God. You're not fooling Him. And Jude gave us this warning. He's warning us about the apostates. Why? They defile the flesh. They don't worry about that. They're involved in the lust of the flesh. That's the examples that he gives us here. Examples are very clear. The children of Israel, the angels, the Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice E here in the notes. God's judgment is sure. Back to Romans 13:14. I know many of you know this verse. Some of you, I'm sure, know it by heart. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, if you're making provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you are conniving to do that, and you don't have any concern, or you don't have any conviction about it, I would say you better examine yourself whether you be in the faith, lest you be a reprobate, as the Scripture says. They're involved in the lust of the flesh, but God's judgment is sure. Look in James chapter 1. I know you're familiar with this one. In James chapter 1. Listen, God didn't put this book of Jude in there just to put some filler in so we could have 66 books of the Bible. Notice here that James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot sin and get by. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you can sin and still be saved. But you can't sin and get away with it without God's judgment on your life. Scripture is very clear about that. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. I printed that out in the notes. There it is again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Why, you're just like those sons-in-laws of Lot who took him as one that mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, if you're truly saved and you dabble in the flesh, this Bible says you're not going to live long. You're not going to live long if you continue in it. It's what the Bible calls the sin unto death. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your physical life. And if you can dabble in the sins of the flesh and the lust of the flesh, and you don't see any chastening from God or any work in your life to try to bring you to the right place, then you might have just identified yourself as an apostate. Someone who has the light, but not the life. Look here finally in F. Their destiny is the lake of fire. You can fool man. You can fool others. But you can't fool God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice it takes two things. Not just a profession, but from the heart to really believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and arose again. Well, we'll leave it there with Jude's illustrations. They're pretty strong. They give us a clear warning. A clear warning. To be careful and to watch for the apostates. So what should it mean to me? It means I should check my own heart. My own life. What are my desires? What is my drive? Do I think that living that Christian life is a phony baloney thing, really? Do I think that the Christian life is just something that we put on a front? Or am I really trying to live in such a way that it brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or could I care less about the glory and honor of Jesus Christ? Now, sometimes Christians put on a pretty good front, but their heart, what the Lord said, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jude's given us a strong warning here. And we need to really dive into this book of Jude and digest it and understand it so that we cannot be influenced by the apostates. I think you're going to be surprised as we get on to this book how the influence of the apostates is affecting each and every one of us in this room tonight. You're going to see that as we study through the book of Jude. He's given us a warning. One last thing. Look there in verse 15. He says, to execute judgment. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. He prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. You see, this puts this in the last days in our time. Actually, it puts it as us coming back at the end of the tribulation period. So it really reveals that in the last times, these people are going to be that way. And of course, we know that from the Antichrist people. And therefore, this book is placed in the last days, but he wrote it to the church. And the church is going to be taken out at the rapture. So he warned us to be careful and to watch for these apostates. You'll be surprised when we look at them and we see as he tells us who they are in this book. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God to guide us. Help us to understand this book of Jude and to realize that Jude was not just playing games, but he gave us a clear warning that you impressed upon his heart through the Holy Spirit, for him to write what you wanted to be written so that we could have this warning. And very possibly there are some here tonight who are just playing a game with this church thing. It's not their heart. If they had their heart, they wouldn't even be here tonight. Father, help them to realize that the end, the result, is like it says there in verse 7, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Lake of fire that never ends. Eternal suffering. Is this little bit of fun in this life worth throwing away the life that you've prepared for us, Father? Reading your word, we find very clear warning that it's not worth it. To give ourselves to Christ is the greatest life we could ever find. Work on the hearts of those here tonight who are hardened, just like these that we talked about tonight. Break the hardened heart and help them to see the truth and to come to Christ and be saved. We thank you and we love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.